Busy Being Black listeners now have an exclusive discount at my favorite publishing house, Pluto Press, an independent publisher of radical left-wing nonfiction books. Established in 1969, Pluto is one of the oldest radical publishing houses in the UK, but its focus remains making timely interventions in contemporary struggles. You'll find a curated list of my favorite books and your exclusive discount code in the show notes. Thanks to funding from the European Cultural Foundation, I'm embarking on a series of conversations exploring queer Black solidarity across Europe during the COVID-19 crisis. As COVID-19 continues to disproportionately impact Black people and communities of color across the globe, these conversations will focus on how marginalized, othered, and vulnerable communities are coming together in solidarity to share their stories, cultures, and acts of protest and resistance. Thank you to the European Cultural Foundation for investing in our stories. Today's conversation is with Iki Ezaid Funes, a Venezuelan migrant and anti-racist activist currently seeking international protection in Spain. She's a survivor of COVID-19, and her experience fighting COVID-19 and the regime of white supremacy in Europe offers important insights to help us all understand how people like Iki and many in our communities so often fall outside the bounds of what is considered human and thus protection, solidarity, and citizenship. She describes her experience in Europe so far as existing within a plantation reloaded and says that the notion of human rights is a fiction reserved for white people. She suggests the pandemic we're living through now actually began with the voyage of Christopher Columbus in 1492, pushes back against assumptions of the inherent radicality of Black trans bodies, and says that pursuing love and pleasure is an essential part of her resistance. Throughout this conversation, Iki and I speak in both English and Spanish, a testament to our community's ongoing commitment to communicate across borders, language, and experience. I'm Josh Rivers, and I'm Busy Being Black with Iki Ezaid Funes. I think what's interesting about this conversation happening in both Spanish and English is I think about us meeting each other on the streets of Madrid or Paris. And I think about how so many in our communities across borders, across languages, across experiences, forge an understanding and a connection when language isn't always the kind of unifying mode of communication.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crucial to this conversation for me is to provide a space to understand your lived experience as an individual, as a human. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? And also hopefully to get some more insights into what your experience has been like seeking international protection. And this conversation can go as far, as deep, as vulnerable, como si quieres. And I will very much be led by you, and I will meet you wherever you go as well. So juntos siempre.
Thank you.
So I think a great question to start with is, how's your heart?
¿Qué pasa por mi corazón? This question is so easy, in the same time is so difficult, because when you are migrant and Black and brown and trans person in Europe, you must be strong to looking for force, to looking for your ancestral fears, to living here. I'm okay right now, but I'm tired too. Because living here is like a running every day. Follow you, the police, the gender police, the white supremacy every day. For the reason I'm tired, but I'm alive. It's so difficult find the dream, find the comfortability to live here, but in the same time is the same situation that in the past. I mean, every time the Black people run to escape, run to live. I am fugitive, and every day living in fugitivity, like my ancestor. I mean, and then in my heart right now, I feel like a strong fear, like a with the energy, but in the same time I'm tired. Y eso tiene que ver, esta forma de vivir cansada tiene que ver con que siempre estamos luchando. Entonces, en mi corazón en este momento hay fuerza y rabia también en el mismo tiempo están operando estas dos energías, both energy in the same time, rage, force, in the same time inside me.
And I think you make a very good point about that being a continuation of that fugitivity, being a continuation of the ways your ancestors, my ancestors, lived. What helps you ease your heart? What helps you find joy? Where are you finding peace?
I can find peace with my community, with my sister, with my brother, with my connection between the past, my spirituality, my Yoruba tradition. Because I think so, the Orisha, Oshala, Elewa, Yemaya protect us. And then when I'm stressed out, when I can find the way, and breathe, it's difficult to breathe in this time, and then make a connection with my ancestor in the spiritual plane, but in the everyday with my sister, I can find a safe space, not without violence, doesn't exist safe space, but when I stay with my sister, or with my queer POC community, I can breathe. I feel good. I feel safe together. For example, in this moment, I think though it's comfortable time because you can hear me, I hear you. We make a connection because we are Black and brown and queer.
And there's that desire for that connection as well, right? That I think one of the things that keeps coming up for Black people this summer is I can't breathe. And this, you know, this, which in many ways is a bit macabre, right? It's this statement that comes out of the final breaths of those who are, many of those who are killed by police, but at the same time, it's a sentiment that's echoed or understood by so many in our communities for whom breathing is difficult, even when a physical knee isn't on your neck, right? And so I find it insightful and important that you specifically say that sometimes you find it hard to breathe.
I wrote a text about the pandemic, about the I can breathe because I'm asthmatic. And then all my life, I living with a few air, a little air, I don't know how to say it, un poco aire para respirar. But this situation, this fact is my heritage, is mi herencia también, because the slavery trouble, Black people, my ancestor, I can breathe too, because there are a lot of people in small space with a few air. And then maybe I can read right now a short fragment. The title is We Don't Choose This Future. We Don't Choose the Colonial Pandemic. in the dark during the transatlantic time, our body were controlled. The colonial pandemic prison regime sought to enclave our body and our language. We are black, we are Cimarrones, we're able to escape. Our black telepathy hasn't been controlled either. The white and colonial pandemic always exists. Post-pandemic time doesn't exist because we're living in anti-black and anti-indigenous and anti-trans world. This is a pandemic world. We know that there are black people in the future because black love of freedom reside beyond my body.
Wow. This kind of the constancy of the white colonial pandemic. And what a beautiful passage. Thank you for sharing that. I hope you'll send it to me so I can share it with others. And I thought, you know, when you write that there's no post-pandemic, that's what we're seeing so much now, whether it's this, you know, standing up for Black life and against police brutality, if it's getting through this pandemic, there is this consistent narrative that there's always an other side. But actually, what you make clear here is that there wasn't another side, right? There wasn't a, once we got to the desk, once our ancestors got to whatever destination, there wasn't some brighter future, there wasn't some new sun. And now we're kind of living through that precarity again, that you know, there might not be another side to this pandemic because the pandemic is actually white supremacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the pandemic is, or are the white supremacy. Every time they follow us for kill us. And then when the white people say, oh, it's a pandemic. No, the pandemic exists from, for example, after tomorrow is October 12th. October 12th was an important date because Cristobal Colón arrived to Apyayala and killed our ancestor. This is beginning the pandemic since 1492. Colón arrived our land and killed two indigenous people, and then the pandemic is not just in this time, in the present. The pandemic.
Oh. Yeah, and Christopher Columbus brought with him, his shipmates brought with them an actual viral pandemic attributed to that killing. And so it seems as if you're saying that there's always a twin pandemic in place, right? If it's a viral pandemic, that viral pandemic is assisted by or made worse by white supremacy, and that white supremacy itself creates its own opportunities for these kind of viral pandemics as well. It's this cyclical or in this relationship between white supremacy as a violent ideology and structure and biological, you know, warfare, as it were, to sound a little dramatic, but maybe not too dramatic.
It's not dramatic. It's absolutely, it's real. It's a fact.
And of course, these twin pandemics, white supremacy and COVID, both meet in your life, right? Often. I mean, you had COVID, and you've made it through COVID, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it was a difficult. I think felt the COVID inside my body. Yeah, because when I heard I can breathe, when I heard this expression, I think about my ancestors. In the first time, and then I think about on my own life in the present and how to live in Europe without air and with a big structure over you. And then las vidas negras son complicadas.
Mm-hmm.
Y cuando vivimos en una situación global complicada, se complican más.
Sí.
Y vivir en tiempos de COVID, siendo una persona queer, negra, fue difícil sobre todo para acceder a la salud, acceder al sistema médico, no porque ame el sistema médico, sino porque necesitaba vivir.
Mm.
El sistema médico solo estaba pensado para ciudadanos y personas con papeles. Entonces fue difícil pelear para solo acceder al test. Y,
so because you didn't have the papers that you needed, you couldn't
this. I'm in irregular situation, yeah, with my papers. I'm an alien. I don't have a medical card. The Spanish people say that the health or public health is for all people is not real. You need a medical card to access to health care. It's difficult access to health care without this card.
Mm.
And then you must fight. But you must fight not only with COVID, you must fight every day. Find a house, to find a job, to find a food, to find a bed to sleep. And then for this reason, I say the pandemic is not in this time. The pandemic is in the past and continue right now. And then if you are a migrant and queer person and you're living in COVID time, the situation is worst. It's terrible because the structure over you are marked strong over you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Las estructuras que están sobre ti oprimiéndote te hacen más fuerte y te oprimen más. But in this moment, we make a connection with another person to be strong, to resist. We make a big community and we make, for example, a box, like a box to put it money and make a, like a crowdfunding. But every day is no special situation. Every day we say, we are Black, we are trans, we are queer, we need money to live. And you are white and you have the responsibility to redistribute your benefits. Because you thief all our gold or diamond or land and you must to repair us. And then siempre decimos a las personas blancas que tienen la responsabilidad política de redistribuir su riqueza. Y no es un favor, it's not us, it's not a favor.
Mm.
Y es su responsabilidad.
Mm.
Es la responsabilidad de las personas blancas. Entonces, en estos tiempos difíciles, nos hicimos más fuerte en comunidad para vivir.
And it's become clear to me over the course of these conversations, and I think what you make very clear as well, and I think it's really important to make clear to listeners as well, just in case they don't know, that seeking international protection is a human right. Right, it's understood under international law that one cannot be penalized for seeking refuge, seeking protection, and that it goes so far as to say that even the route of entry into the country, the type of entry, cannot be used against those who might be seeking international protection. And what has become clear over the conversations I've been having for the show, for this series with the European Cultural Foundation, and already over the course of this conversation with you, is the way that European countries do not uphold, and governments do not uphold and live up to these kind of very basic international human rights dictates, which say that you should be able to seek international protection and not be penalized for it. And this penalization happens when you don't have the tarjeta médica, and get the support that you need from the state to support your application. And I find this to be such a big gap, right? That our people like you are trying to survive within.
Yep. It's difficult, this question, because first, we are not human. I don't want to be human. I know that there are big concept about the human right, but the human right is a fiction only for white people, because black and brown people are not human. It's not a joke, it's not a fantasy, it's real, because if I live in Europe, if I don't have medical card, it's because the white supremacy think about my body, not like a human. You know what I mean? And then it's a trap. Es una trampa. Es una trampa pensar que existen los derechos humanos. Es una trampa pensar que Europa nos va a salvar, nos va a proteger. I don't believe in Europe like a cyber. And then I think so the Europe want kill us. When Europe, when Spain don't give my medical card, it's because they kill me.
Yeah, momentito, actually, I want to, sorry to interrupt, but that's a really fascinating point. I don't live in Europe.
Yeah.
No, of course
I don't trust in this fantasy. I don't trust in Europe. I don't believe in Europe.
But you also actually, aside from not living in the or believing in the fantasy or the fiction of human rights in Europe, you also, and many like you, many of our LGBTQ siblings, Black and people of color siblings, are living in this liminal space, yep. right? This yep. space into which the fantasy yep. of human rights becomes yep. revealed. Right. And so you're not protected by a state. You're not protected financially. You're not protected with community outside of that, which you forge with others in this space. Like, that's a fascinating point, that Europe doesn't actually exist for people.
Yep.
Wow.
It's so complex because, like you say, we're living in a liminal space, in the borderline between humanity or not humanity. And then the human rights is a fiction. I can play this game, but I never be a win. Yo nunca voy a ganar en ese juego. Es un juego de ficciones y siempre estamos en el límite de ser humanos y no ser humanos. Y jugamos allí, pero yo estoy aquí no porque yo crea en Europa, no porque Europa me va a proteger. Yo pienso que no estamos a salvo en ningún espacio. Y siempre estamos escapando para vivir. Y las personas negras, brown, cimarrón, we're living in a different time than white supremacy. You know what I mean? Because we're living in the past time, in the plantation memories, but the plantation of finish, never ending. The plantation is now too.
Yes.
And I will even remember my ancestors in the plantation memory, and I'm living in a new plantation reloaded. Do you know what I mean?
Sí, es mi cabeza está.
Entonces, estamos siempre con la mente en otra temporalidad y viviendo el tiempo de la plantación contemporánea. I live here in this plantation, but I think about the plantation that my ancestor.
Sí. You know? Podemos ver cuando hablamos con personas como ti, que el surveillance of the state, la brutalidad de la policía, las reglas de citizenship. Todo es una réplica de plantación. Es como está diciendo, sí.
Yeah, I need a card, like.
Yes.
To live in
freedom card.
Yeah. Sí. Y this card es firmada por el jefe de la plantación.
Sí.
El jefe me dice, tú puedes vivir aquí. Sí. Porque yo te doy el permiso. Like the pass in the last, in another plantation. When I, if I want to rent an apartment, I need papers. If I don't have paper, I can't rent the apartment. It's like a slavery time. Si la persona esclavizada no tenía libertad, no puede tener propiedades.
Mm.
La persona esclavizada necesitaba el permiso del jefe de la plantación para moverse. I can't cross the border without paper. I need that my white boss open my door, open the borders to a cross. But without paper, I can't. Sin papeles, sin el permiso del jefe. Entonces, pensar la plantación como un régimen político que se reactualiza constantemente es importante.
Sí.
The plantation is a political regime that reloaded every time and every day.
Sí, hay un libro de... ¿dónde está? Hay un libro de Simone Brown que se llama Dark Matters. Y el... Libro. Momentito. In Dark Matters, Simone Brown, and this is part of what is fascinating about this conversation, is that here you are effectively in Madrid seeking international protection, and you have equated your experience as like living in a neo-plantation state. Right? You cannot move without your papers. You cannot access housing without your papers. You need permission from the head of the state to say you are a valid human being, you are a citizen. And actually what Simone Brown...
And you can make build in your body and your gender without a permit.
Right, without permission.
Yeah, tú necesitas permiso del jefe de la plantación para construir tu género y tu queerness. Tú no puedes transicionar sin el permiso del Estado.
Wow.
Y del jefe de la plantación. This is the question. Because there are a different way to be trans, to be queer. But the state, el jefe de la plantación, coloca una sola forma de transicionar y de ser queer and trans.
Yes.
Una forma médica, jurídica y bioquímica para ser trans.
Sí, porque necesitas tomar medicaciones para ser trans. I say trans con
quotations.
Lo siento, I don't know what that was. with quotations, wow. But this, what you're revealing is this surveillance that, or this neo-plantation structure that is so often attributed to the US is actually European. Right, it transcends the borders of the U.S. and Europe, and becomes this regime, as you say, that is enacted upon Black and Brown bodies, even those of us who do have citizenship and those of us who are guaranteed a certain level of rights. I forget, Zakiya Jackson writes that even for those Black people who are deemed human, they are deemed lesser human. And so still fall under this neo-plantation regime.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you say, ¿qué dices a ustedes que cuando piensas de tú y tu experiencia, se ven un tipo de radicality. ¿Entiendes?
Understand. Every time the people say, "Are you a radical?" and say, "Yes, I'm a radical." Angela Davis talking about the radical is like a travel to the roots.
Yes.
And find the roots. Yes, I'm radical. Because I'm thinking about my roots. Yo pienso en mis raíces. Yo pienso en mis ancestras. But in the same time, this expression is anti-blackness expression. Because the black people, every time is angry. Every day is like a fierce. It's like a pet set, you know? Mm. And then when you say, "Oh, you are radical," it's like, tú no eres una persona calmada. Tú no eres una persona civilizada. No? It's like a tomplice, because the race is no good. But the white supremacy, every day, make a violence against us. And this is violence. It's a violencia legítima. Mm-hmm. Es una violencia legítima. Pero la violencia de los cuerpos negros en contra de la supremacía blanca es rabia, es radicalidad, es peligroso. Pero si yo no accedo a la salud, eso no es violento. Si yo no puedo cruzar una frontera, eso no es violento. Y esa es la violencia que la supremacía blanca hace hacia nosotros. And then every time the people say, "Are you a radical or not? You must be nicely." No, I don't want to be nicely.
And I think
it's not nicely with me.
No, why should it, right? And I think that in this, when people look to you and think radical, I also think it is dehumanizing too, because then there is no espacio para el interior or your hopes or your wants or your desires or your longing or anything.
Yeah, absolutamente. Cuando la persona me dicen que soy radical, es porque me están viendo like a black and white woman, like a fierce. Like, yo no puedo pensar y no puedo ser lo suficientemente racional como la persona blanca, porque lo radical está asociado con la violencia. Y la violencia siempre va a existir en nuestro cuerpo. No hay un lugar fuera de la violencia. Siempre existimos desde la violencia. The violence is in my body. Doesn't exist a space without violence. It's a fiction, it's a Christian fiction, the paradise without violence. It's a white fiction.
Wow. I'm just letting that sit, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so terrible. I have a friend, yo tengo una amiga trans de Brasil que se llama Jota Mombasa. Ella es artista, una bicha travesti, y ella habla de la redistribución de la violencia, to redistribute the violence.
Oh, yes.
She's talking about the devolver el golpe, like a get back again, yeah, against the white supremacy, because she said, like, nosotras recibimos mucha violencia. Los cuerpos negros recibimos violencia desde que nacemos y tenemos el derecho de devolver esa violencia.
Sí, como Malcolm X, right? By any means necessary.
Yep.
Yeah, I was watching a video from Mona. I don't want to get her name wrong. She's an Egyptian activist. And she was talking about decorum. Patience, niceness, being a tool of the oppressor, that us participating in this idea that we have somehow to be nice and well-spoken and soft and gentle with the oppressor is a type of violence, because it is this suppression of what is a very natural rage. It's a very natural response to look at the system around us, to look at how our trans siblings are being treated and say, that is fucked. And I'm not going to be quiet about it. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to spare the oppressor's feelings. And so I wonder how are there ways that tú y tu comunidad juntos are finding ways to express your anger and your rage in a way that you find helpful y saludable?
Yeah, I think so. With my community, we can find a way to live together and with pleasure. It's important, this is because sometimes straight people, white and straight people think about our life. I think about the rage, la rabia, and think about our body without pleasure, sin placer. And then I think it's important to make a community with pleasure and with a space of pleasure too. Maybe a party, maybe a picnic, maybe a meeting and hangout, whatever, but with pleasure, because we need pleasure to live. We need love and pleasure. Para mí es importante la resistencia desde el placer y que la resistencia sea placentera. Bailando, comiendo, tirando, follando, pero con placer, porque la supremacía blanca nos roba el tiempo. The white people, white supremacy, stolen our of time, our life, thief our time, and then we need thief again, stolen again, robar y recuperar el tiempo, recuperar la tierra, recuperar el tiempo, recuperar el placer también. Entonces, pienso que nuestra comunidad, cuando pienso en comunidad, pienso en buscar el placer también, en todas las dimensiones del placer, como all dimensions of pleasure, not only sexual, libidinal dimension, o dimensión libidinal del placer, sino en todas las dimensiones del placer.
¿Piensas tú que en esas... En estos lugares liminal que tú y tu comunidad se viven, hay una oportunidad para safety? Mira, I think sometimes that this ability or this invisibility.
I hear you.
Oh.
Right now, yes.
Yeah. Sometimes I think, I wonder rather, if invisibility is also a form of safety. So this space that you and those in your community occupy, this liminal space where you don't live in Europe, you aren't recognized by the state, that it brings its violences with it. And I wonder if it also provides escape, if it also provides a space to go undetected, if it provides a space to pursue pleasure, libidinal, fraternal, you know, intracommunal. If there's also some safety in that, in these liminal spaces, what do you think?
Hard question, because the visibility is a trap. The visibility never saves us. Because, for example, what happens when you walk in the street and there are police? And you are visible for the police. The police stop you. The police fuck you. What happened when you walk in the street and you are invisible? Never see you. Never find you. I think so. It's a trap, the visibility, but in the same time, it's necessary sometimes. But I think though there are trans black clad Release Norton talking about the plantation of visibility.
Wow.
Period.
Yeah.
Muy fuerte, porque la plantación de la visibilidad tiene que ver con un régimen oculocéntrico
sí.
de ordenar el mundo. Y la visibilidad es una trampa, la representación también es una trampa. Entonces, ¿cómo vivir en esas, entre esas dos aguas, en un espacio liminal, between representation and no representation, between visibility and invisibility? And then I think so it's important across this border. Sometimes mm. I want to be visible. Sometimes I can't be visible. Because if I will, maybe I can die. Si soy visible, puedo morir en algunos momentos. Si soy visible, mi vida está en riesgo en unos momentos. Entonces, creo que tenemos poderes para saber cuándo estar visibles y cuándo estar hide, y cuándo ocultarnos.
Sí. And I don't want to suggest that the solution lies in the liminal space, right? I don't mean that whatsoever, because that's not the point, right? The point is that the protections, the promises have to be extended to all people, and we're questioning whether or not that's even possible in the neo-plantation state. I do think that looking at the gaps, as I'm learning from Terry Alice Pickens, looking at the gaps, the cracks, the folds, provides an opportunity to see the potential for safety or potential for other futures. And I imagine that the sense of community and sharing and solidarity, you mentioned La Caja earlier, where you're all putting in money, that here we see the potential for community, how it should be, right? Not necessarily under duress, but that here we see an example of people looking out for each other in ways that are really life-sustaining, and that includes pleasure.
Yes, there are a gap between escape or no escape. There are a gap between visibility or no visibility. It may be this is possibility to live or not, stay safe or not, and then for this reason, when we start this conversation, I say I'm tired, because every time you must think how to find a branch to or way to escape or not, and then I think so black and brown body every time are tired, every time like this project are busy. Busy, think about how to live busy. Think about how to escape. Busy, I like this name, busy to be black, because it's this reason I am busy, because I think about all time, like, como vivir en este mundo anti-blackness, anti-trans. And then every time we are tired,
we are almost out of time already. Yeah, esta conversación había momentico, ¿cómo se dice? Momentos.
Momentos, sí.
Momentos. Lo final, por final.
Sí, para el final, para terminar.
Para terminar, la pregunta que se preguntó, that I ask all of my guests.
Me preguntaste, yeah.
Yeah. What do you hope for?
Yo espero vivir. Espero estar con mis amigas en el futuro. Mm-hmm. Espero que este mundo in the future will be queerness, travesti. Espero reproducirme. Ser millones, a million of queerness, invasion of million queer people and tranny people in this earth. Espero que la supremacía blanca finalice, extinga.
Sí.
It's a dream. Y espero tener fuerzas para seguir viviendo. es difícil, pero espero eso. Pienso en el futuro y pienso en esta artista negra, inglesa también, que hablaba de que en el futuro hay personas negras, habrá personas negras. Alicia Wormsley, I think so, is Alicia B. Wormsley. She's talking about the future, black future, and she say in the future to be exists black people, black and brown people. Entonces pienso eso, que en el futuro vamos a existir nosotros.
Thank you so much. Gracias a ti for your generosity, your wisdom, your insight, your challenging theoretical and intellectual prompts. I feel really, 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 really honored that you would share your thinking, your feelings, and your life with me and with the Busy Being Black audience.
Gracias a ti también por tu energía y tu comprensión. Y fue un placer tener esta conversación y conexión.
Iki Azaid Funes is a Venezuelan migrant and anti-racist activist currently seeking international protection in Spain. In the show notes, you'll find her recent essay, Nosotros no escogimos este futuro, and for those with the means, you'll find a link to her PayPal. Thank you to our newest funding partner, MyGWork, the LGBT business community. MyGWork is a global recruitment and networking hub for LGBT professionals, graduates, allies, and organizations to promote diversity and inclusion in the workplace and beyond. And as the landscape of work changes beneath our feet, MyGWork's focus on ensuring LGBT voices and experiences are heard is as important as ever. Find out more at MyGWork.com. Busy Being Black is the podcast exploring how we live in the fullness of our queer black lives. Thank you to our partners, UK Black Pride, Blackout UK, The 10th, and Schools Out. And thank you to you, the listeners. Remember this, your support doesn't cost any money. Retweets, ratings, shares, and reviews all help, so please keep the support coming. Finally, thank you to Anthony Giles, a queer black, Grammy-nominated producer based in New York City, for these bomb-ass Busy Being Black beats. Ashe.